The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This clip is an exclusive part of the Fans Dog Week, presented by Hooters and Truist Bank. He's a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Matt Stinchcomb is only on the College Football Voice of the South, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, ASW Distillery, and AAA.
Matt Stinchcomb, as he has been all season long with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker Line. So, you know, obligatory college football playoff talk. How do you feel right now if you're Cincinnati? Because it seems like no matter what, Oklahoma State, if they win, is going to jump you.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of a sick feeling for those guys. And, you know, let's be real. You know, Houston's a good football team, and Cincinnati has been less than dominant in a number of performances this year, so it's not a foregone conclusion that they finish an undefeated year. And it would take that, of course, I think, regardless of what happens with Oklahoma State. But it's tough. It's going to be tough sledding for those guys. You know, I'm sure they felt like they had a little bit of a buffer and probably already did because they would lack that 13th game with Notre Dame. But the fact that their coach has already deemed them not a viable candidate for the playoffs and has headed on down to Baton Rouge, then I think whatever margin for error they felt like existed before, you know, has largely evaporated. You know, the other thing that would be interesting to see is, you know, things, it's kind of hard to conceive of what all would have to transpire to get to this point. But if the SEC ended up with two teams and it would take an Alabama victory on Saturday to get there, there's no way that Georgia still isn't in the college football playoff. You know, it gets really crowded really quickly. There's a lot of other chaos scenarios. But Cincinnati is, I think, far and away has the most tentative hold on their top four position of the teams that are currently sitting there for the college football playoff.
I will get back to your Brian Kelly. I believe that was, I don't know, it was certainly an opinion. I'll get back to it. It's not lost on me what you said about what he said without actually saying it. And before we talk about the coaches jumping ship, what about what Gary Barta said about the idea of looking at Notre Dame differently? Not this week, but next week for not having Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. It's if you're going to take into account, you know, whether or not a quarterback is available, it kind of matters if head coaches are of any importance, which based on these salaries and the duration of these deals, they must be remarkably important, more important than, you know, a lot of CEOs and even leaders of countries. And if that's the case, then to not have that person shepherding your program in a playoff game, surely that matters. So I'm glad even I would have been really concerned if the playoff was, if they were instructed the committee to say, you know what, you cannot take into consideration the fact that this team doesn't have a head coach. That seems kind of crazy. So, you know, the decision for Brian Kelly to leave when he's left, this is unprecedented. And who knows if another domino doesn't fall. You know, given where Cincinnati is and the tenuous hold that they have, you know, if you're Luke Fickell and you're a candidate for the Notre Dame job, which, it, you know, it's been reported, a lot of things have been reported, but it's been reported that maybe that's one of his dream jobs, that and, of course, you know, Ohio State. If that's the case, then do you stick around to find out? Or you just say, yeah, you know what, let's go ahead and pull the trigger. Yeah, I'll be the next head coach at Notre Dame.
But
if that happens, if that happens, is Notre Dame viable again? Because you've got a playoff contending head coach available. He's just not coaching the team that he would have made a playoff contender.
Part of the do-si-do of this whole thing, I'm glad you put it that way, because if he wins and announces he's going to Notre Dame and he leaves immediately, is Notre Dame more sexy than Cincinnati? Because Cincinnati doesn't have a coach. Therefore, as Gary Barta said, well, you got to pay a price for not having a coach. I want to ask you, what price should they have to pay more, Notre Dame? The fact that Brian Kelly left, or the fact that they don't have a conference championship game because they've been above being in a conference this time?
I think you just nailed it. To me, we were talking about this yesterday, as were many people, is that I wonder if this even happens. Would any of this have happened if Notre Dame was in the ACC?
Ding, ding, ding.
And yet they have, and I think they are a victim of their own hubris. We are above the current construct of college football. We're different. We're other. And know what? Now you're going to be treated as other, but in a way that's not favorable. They were on the outside looking in. I don't know how they would have gotten in regardless. So Brian Kelly sticks around, and I think Brian Kelly saw it that way too. Where it's like, I stay, we don't get in. I leave, we don't get in. Either way, we don't get in. What am I waiting on? So in the cold calculus of things, go ahead and go, you know, start looking for real estate in the Baton Rouge area. So it's concerning to me for the guys that play at Notre Dame. I felt for that team for a while, the guys that are on that roster. Their fans sell them out at home. They're playing in stadiums, in home games, where you look around, and if it's versus a contending team or a team with any type of fan base that travels, it's an away game for these guys. And now you play all the games that you can. Yeah, you drop a game to Cincinnati. You don't really have a validating win because Wisconsin's not ranked anymore, but you're still thought to be a top six team in the country, and your coach says, peace, I'm out of here. It's just it's a brutal scenario for them, and you can't help but feel for that roster because of it.
And Brian Kelly, his goodbye lasted like 2 minutes. No questions, good. I'm out of here. I'm making $95 million. That's why I left. Domino brought it up earlier. Is that almost more insulting or definitely more insulting than not meeting with the team at all?
No, I think you have to meet with the guys at the very least. Now, did you stand in front of stand and deliver? No. So in some ways, I think there's a video out there of it, which I got to say, I'm not a big fan of these kind of clandestinely recorded moments. I feel like it's a violation of that environment. In this instance, you know, my incredulity is a little bit dampened considering the circumstances. But I do think that the fact that he at least came back counts for more than if he hadn't.
Stinch, can I approach the bench though? Who did he do that for, them or him?
Yeah. No, you're right. That's where I was headed. But were you just checking the box so that you could say that you did it?
Yes.
And I don't know. I cannot. That is something I can't presume to know that, in today's age, and I'm not defending Brian Kelly specifically. It's just in general. The coaches are put in positions or place themselves in positions to answer questions that there's not a good answer for. There just is not a good answer for this stuff. And the dynamic in college football right now is, I think, to say dysfunctional is a gross understatement. And these players, and most of them, I think, are not subject to the head coach. I mean, I will say that outside of quarterback, maybe running back, you know, who the head coach is and their offensive philosophy, football is football is football. If you're a good player, you're a good player, and you can contend. But the transfer portal and the NIL rules, they don't begin to level the playing field, as it were, when it comes to this type of coaching carousel. And if we think that, you know, these coaches and the expansion of the playoff is going to render some stability to the college football landscape, I think we're lunatics. We've got right now, if Oklahoma beat Oklahoma State the other day, do we think that Lincoln Riley's still coaching in Oklahoma?
Yes.
I think that he pieces out.
I think it made it a lot easier for him to go, the fact that they lost.
Oh, no, it definitely did. It definitely did. But the thing is that I think he's gone anyway. And Notre Dame's still sitting there, and maybe they had a shot at this thing. The scenarios aren't that far-fetched. It is possible. And yet, I mean, let's think of it this way. There was a couple of weeks ago we're going, what would it take for Ole Miss to win the division? Well, Bama would have to lose to Arkansas and Auburn. Well, we watched the games. Bama could have easily lost to Arkansas and probably should have lost to Auburn. And then you've got an Ole Miss division champion. And so the stuff that we think is impossible and wouldn't be likely, they're far more likely this year than in any other year, which has made this a great year. But we're talking about three coaches, guys, Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly, and Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell being the most distant from this scenario, currently anyway. But two coaches that were in playoff contention that are now coaching other teams before the final rankings have even been released.
I don't know if you're a conspiracy guy, but I've always said either show me the dollar sign or give me a better storyline. Can I just play devil's advocate about Notre Dame for a second? We're only a Cincinnati loss and an Oklahoma State loss from Notre Dame getting in. And we said,
or an Iowa win.
Yeah, we've said.
There you
that's
go.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have said, so there's three scenarios, two spots, boom, eliminated, and then if you can't. But Notre Dame, to me, is better TV. It's a better storyline. What can the young men do if they lost their leader? The players. I think it's a better storyline if Notre Dame gets in than Cincinnati, than Oklahoma State. Not fair. I hope that's not how they're doing this. But Notre Dame being a part of it, bigger brand by a ton. And I think it's a better storyline than any storyline, including Cincinnati's undefeated season and Oklahoma State, where the hell did they come from? So if they're really going to play the game of how do we get more eyeballs, Notre Dame, they're rooting for Notre Dame to get in, are they not?
I don't know, because the dynamic also in there is largely representative of conference-based guys, coaches, former ADs, that sort of thing. There's not a lot of independent voices in that room. But why are we expanding the playoff? It's because there's declining interest in watching it, and that's a function of geography as much as it is anything else. The doomsday scenario, and maybe – if I could layer on another scenario here, is that because the current proposed expanded playoff has now been put on hold because of what the SEC supposedly did and everybody's got their feelings hurt, even though an expanded playoff benefits every other conference as much or more as the SEC, and yet they're going to cut their nose off to spite their face, what's the best way to get this thing done quicker?
Georgia, Alabama, Cincinnati, Notre Dame.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have two SEC teams in there, and they'll be like, that's it. We've had it.
Yeah, we had Greg.
We had it with the BCS.
We had Greg
but
Sankey.
Now you're right. It's what's that now?
We had Greg Sankey on yesterday.
Yeah.
He said what I believe, that you'll have a 12-team playoff the day that those final come out, Georgia, Alabama, ND, Cincinnati. There'll be a 12-team playoff that night. They'll declare it as such.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. But as what y'all are putting forth, which is a scenario that says, you know, better viewership.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's driving a lot of this. This isn't inclusion. The only reason that they need or want inclusion, if we're being fair and looking at this objectively, is interest, eyeballs, viewers. And that's okay. So to make an argument in what has been a subjective process, and the fact that Michigan was above Michigan State, even though that's now ultimately been validated on the field, at the time, the fact that they were ranked higher than Michigan State speaks to the subjectivity of this process. Does it make more sense for a Notre Dame with that storyline to be in the college football playoff? You can make a pretty strong argument for that to be the case, regardless of their less than compelling performances in their playoff appearances.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. We know that Georgia is a big favorite. What does Alabama have to do to win this game?
They're going to have to hit big plays. They're going to have to get behind the secondary. Jameson Williams is going to have the game of his life. They're going to have to move the pocket on offense, get the ball out quickly, because they have shown that they have difficulty holding up in protection. That's the long and short of it. They have been challenged throughout the year to introduce more play-action pass, more run-pass option to help their offensive front hold up and to keep their quarterback clean. The problem is that now you don't really have a viable, healthy option at running back. Trey Sanders is there. Roydell Williams went out a couple of games ago versus New Mexico State, and Brian Robinson looks to be hampered by what is likely a hamstring issue and behind an offensive front that hasn't blocked well in the run all season. They're going to have to find a way to get the ball out of Bryce Young's hands quickly and still be able to create explosive plays. This is a year where you say Alabama's best isn't going to be enough. They're going to need Georgia to meet them somewhere. Georgia's going to have to underperform somewhere for Alabama to win this football game. Seems like a a bigger statement than it actually is. But if you've watched them this year, Alabama's best football, based on what we've seen from Georgia, still isn't enough to win the game. Georgia's going to have to underperform for them to get it done.
I know they're better than Auburn by a lot. But as a Georgia guy, if you see 10-0 starting the fourth quarter in a game where you've kicked their ass every place but the scoreboard, are you going to have an uh-oh moment in your mind?
Nah. I think this group's different, man. A lot's been said about this where Georgia hasn't faced adversity. Well, we don't get to watch Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I gotta think that, you know, a lot's been made about this offense and it's overshadowed. And I think a lot of people still think that the Georgia offense is kind of grossly imbalanced by the Georgia defense. This Georgia defense is an outlier, but it's an outlier if you look across the past two decades of football. But this Georgia offense, this is an explosive offense. You look at the numbers when they're actually still playing real football and not just buckling down for the fourth quarter and riding it out. This offense has been explosive, on par with the explosive offenses that we've seen at a national championship level. It's not record-setting like what we saw from LSU and then trumped by Alabama last year, but it's right up there. So to think that the way that they're playing right now, that it somehow gets abbreviated in a game like this because they're down 10 points, would suggest that they have an offense that isn't capable of scoring. Alabama's good on defense. They're a lot better in their front seven than they are in their back end. That's probably true for Georgia, too, just not to the same extremes. But this Georgia offense this year is far more intact and far more well-rounded than the one that Alabama's going to field on Saturday.
All right, a couple of quick things. What's Nick Saban supposed to get paid? After what's just happened in the last 10 days, what's Nick Saban supposed to be making a year?
Well, I think that the question that I have is that it's, you know, what these guys are getting paid or what they're getting paid, it's the 10-year deals that I don't understand.
So my next one, do you think any of them finish the length of this contract? Any of the four guys?
No.
Do you think any of them win a national championship where they now are cemented with these deals? That's Franklin, that's Tucker, that's Kelly, and Lincoln Riley.
No. I would say no, no, yes, no. Look, at LSU, if anything, I'm looking at that hire. I think Brian Kelly's a hell of a coach. I just don't think that you need a hell of a coach at LSU. That's been proven. You got one guy in Les Miles who does anybody think or arguing that, you know, this guy was one of the elite coaches. He was a good head coach. That guy played for two national titles, won one of them. His first year he played for an SEC championship and lost. I mean, they were remarkably successful under Les Miles. And I think you could easily observe, in spite of some of his decisions in game, you don't go for a touchdown when a field goal wins it on the road versus Auburn. But he did. And if you don't get it, you lose. But he did get it. And so, you know, he's the Mad Hatter. No, that's just a miscarriage of head coaching's responsibility. But they win national championships there. And they win national championships without coaches of the caliber of Brian Kelly. So, yeah, I think he'll actually get it done at some point because it's LSU.
Would you have gone for
almost trip your way to the national title?
Would you have gone for two if you were Auburn at the end of that game?
Knowing what we know now, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think so. You got Finley who's hobbling around right there. You know, I would have stayed in bounds. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would have done in that game. But you're talking about on the second overtime, go ahead and try to win it? Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, it's easy for me to do that now. There's a lot of decisions that were made at the head coaching spot at Auburn this year that I think you could readily question, and it looked as if a guy who hadn't been in this conference before.
So you a fan this weekend? You going to the game?
I'm a fan. I'm a completely subjective observer. I get to be a Georgia guy this weekend.
Exactly. Finally.
How many people are going with you? The family going with you?
Yeah, we're going to have a good crew. We got some buddies and fans going to be the fans are going to be there. Guys I played with.
Oh, nice. How many of the tickets are yours? Like you physically have one ticket, two tickets, four tickets?
I don't have physically any tickets. Everything's digital now.
Give it the times, Domino.
How many do you have in your phone? Downloaded to your phone?
I've got some tickets to the game, and we're very excited to go.
Have you heard the numbers? Christmas could be a lot better in a Stinchcomb house if you just sell those tickets.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, man, you can't sometimes experiences trump, dollars.
Yeah, it was like the World Series this year. I mean, you could have sold some of those tickets and made some money, but it was the World Series. And you look back and you're probably glad, I'm not talking just for us, a lot of people out there are probably glad they never sold those tickets.
Will you take a selfie at this game to not only show you were there, but the memory part of it? Will you take a selfie with family members?
Yeah. I've got the longest arms in our family, so I take all the selfies.
You have no choice. Matt Stinchcomb, always a pleasure having you on. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk about it next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You got it. Matt Stinchcomb on the Hobson and Hobson News Megaline.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.